Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the VIP Ignite podcast. I'm your host, Denine White. Today, I am so excited to introduce you guys to Vince Lopez. The reason I'm so excited to introduce you to him is because he's been on this journey for a while in the entertainment industry, and after talking to him the other day for our pre-interview, I learned a lot about how he has managed to work smarter, not harder, and I can't wait for you guys to learn some of his tips and tricks. Hi, Vince. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me. The fact that you guys are even putting these kind of bits of information out there for people to grasp and help them grow, that's huge. So thanks just for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh, you're so welcome. So I tell all of my guests that this is the fastest 30 minutes of your entire day. So can you start by telling my audience a little bit about yourself and your body of work?
Sure. Okay, so my name is Vince Lopez. I'm 31 years old. I'm from Hopewell Junction, New York. I was born in the Bronx, and, you know, my family, they're very, you get a job, you do the job, fantastic. My dad was the only one that was kind of an inspiration to me. He was the president of the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and, you know, to be around that for so long when I was growing up, when I got older, you know, I pursued things in college, like medical lab tech, that did not work, and then I kind of fell into the entertainment industry. And for 10 years I've been working it, all the bumps, bells, and whistles to wind up here now where I am a marketing director for an international film festival working for my mentor, which is so cool. So cool.
That's awesome. So when we were talking the other day, we talked a lot about your journey and just like you've done a lot of things that led up to this moment. So can you speak a little bit about like the different projects you've worked on, different things like that?
Absolutely. Okay, so when I was first starting out, I had it in my mind where I was going to be single for the rest of my life just so I can pursue this career. You have to be passionate and hungry. And what I wound up doing is exactly that for a very long time. And I was able to gain management early on from Starlight Modeling Productions, who I don't even know if they exist anymore. Then I got hired and managed by Monica Madison, and that was awesome. And from there, I was able to get into audition for Oz the Great and Powerful. Now, that was shooting in Detroit in, like, the biggest blue screen stage, like, in the industry. And the reason why is because they converted one of the old automotive factories. Yeah, it was so cool. Into a live blue screen and all these gigantic sets for Disney. And, you know, Disney, they don't exactly hold back financially. So I wound up doing that. I got that. Funny thing is, while I was doing that, it's like, man, you know, you don't always have the funding in the very beginning. Yes, you get these contracts and all these good things, but, man, like, they want you to do so much and they give you so little. But when you get an opportunity like that and it's full, you know, scale pay and you get all the networking and then, boom, you have lines with people like James Franco, Mila Kunis, like, and they're cool people, man. You know, I mean, my lines didn't make it. I was still young and fresh in it, but regardless, I was able to do that, you know? I mean, the same room,
yeah.
That was so freaking cool. Then from there,
That's awesome.
You stumble out of everything else, and you get onto other sets, like Now You See Me, and there, that was a flop for me, too. Another failure, because I was like, oh, here we go. I'm going to go audition for some lines and in this freaking awesome movie with this dope guy in it, and then, bam. They wind up giving me everything that you know, she asked for. And I go, and guess what? That scene doesn't even, it doesn't exist anymore. So, hey, we're going to change it up. And you look at that and you say, hey, okay, these things happen. But you got to, like, you know, Will Smith said, fail forward, like I was telling you the other day. So what do you do?
Yeah.
All those years of working and things like that happening the whole time, then doing some radio. And then, you know, traveling and doing all these short films and then student film work and so forth. And then over this time span, then I get the film Me America. It falls into my lap when I had no work going on for like a year and a half because I had surgery on my knee. And then I get hit up by Heidi Eklund for a film that they're doing in the backyard of where I live. And it's like, man, all the work I've done, I had to travel to other states. You know, I'm touring, doing comedy with people, and I'm going everywhere. And then little by little, you start getting all this money and traction. And then the industry remembers you, and then you just start getting work offered to you. And then there's a change that happens. And that's, you know, that's kind of where it got for me.
What would you say is the tipping point of that? Because you, like, you're working, and then all of a sudden they remember you. So, like, is there a tipping point, or is it just, like, one day it just all, like, clicks?
Well, for me, the tipping point was the failures, actually, because you get these little successes, right? Small little successes, great pay, you know, doing a commercial with the guy that did the voice in Finding Nemo, the crab. I got to do a commercial for GSN Network. Yeah, I was working with that guy. And, you know, you're there for a little bit of time, a small change. I think it was like 2 hours and I was on set. And then you get this big paycheck, and it's like, man, for what? You know, like little gems like that happen in the middle of, hey, you know, this is a freebie here and that's a freebie there. And, you know, that's just part of it. You got to pay your dues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the tipping point is when you finally fail, boom. Huh?
I was going to ask you that, but you answered it. So that's awesome. So here's a question for you. So many people think, okay, you know what? I get on set, I have lines, it's going to be awesome. Like, how do you handle your lines being cut from the overall movie?
Well, you handle it simply by, okay, I'm not big enough anything. This is what's happening. And at least I'm there to do what I have to do. You know, like, okay. So now I've gone and I'm an extra. And I feel like I busted hump for more, but it didn't work out otherwise. So I was there one day on set, and then sourpussed and walked out like a punk, didn't commit. And that's a regret that I had, because later on, and this is when I was really young, you know, later on when I went back and looked at it, there was so much opportunity. Who cares if you're getting a paycheck or not? Do you have any idea the kind of talent that any production puts in one room for you to network with and garner other work? Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
And when I learned that, you know, then it came to continuing to network and to not make mistakes, you know, and to keep those relations. And when all that traction was happening, then I met my wife, and that's beautiful. And we have our son. And then
that's awesome.
I kind of went back to regular life and shied away, but little by little continued to work. So that was, for me, was like one of those ledges where, you know, things happen in your life, you know, you're either going through something, you already went through it, or you're coming out. That's just life.
Yeah.
In all facets, good or bad.
Yeah, that's so true. So let's talk about working on an international film festival with your mentor. Like, how did that transpire? And then if you could tell us about the film festival, that would be amazing.
Okay, well, what happened was I was working, managing a warehouse while I'm still taking the time to work on the other smaller projects, more like passion projects with my guys that I started out with, Comedy Friends, and they're based out of Buffalo. They're the ones that I traveled all over with and, you know, did an exploratory project for Nick Cannon that was pretty cool that just recently dropped. So while I was doing like a feather coming back, I was like, you know what, let me reach out to Robert, see how he's doing. So I hit him up, and I already had heard, you know, all about that he was doing this festival, but I didn't know to what degree of anything. And I was just like, well, if I'm getting back, let me just reach back out, because it's been like, I think like a year or so before I really hit him up hardcore, you know. Sometimes when you have a mentor, your journeys kind of go different, but you got to keep pulling it back and, you know, cultivating that relationship, because they have great content.
Yeah.
Like, he's worked with Scorsese and so forth. You know, there's a reason why sometimes, although like attracts like, you're still having your own turmoils and things separate. But I was able to bring that back, and I reached out to him on Facebook, a little soft, like, feather touch. And I was like, hey, you know, what's going on, Robert? What you up to? How's everything? How's the family? And he winds up, Vince, oh, my God, where you been? It's like, whoa. All that energy of love, you know? Like, wait, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
So it's like, man, it never leaves you when you have those real relationships that you cultivate. Yeah. After that, he was asking what I was doing, and there was a lot of other things I was auditioning for. One, I still can't talk about, but I will tell you that I got very, very far in a culinary competition on my laurels. It was really awesome.
Okay, we have to talk about that offline. I want to know details. That's awesome. Oh, no. For some reason, we dropped. So I hope you guys are enjoying our conversation so far, and hopefully Vince will get back on. But something I really hope that you're taking away so far from our conversation is that, like, Vince hit success. Like, he hit different successes. He was, like, in movies. His lines got cut. But he's always kept trucking forward. And one of the things that I think that you really need to sit down and just digest is that no matter what, he continued networking throughout everything. Welcome back, Vince.
Thanks. Somehow the call got dropped. My apologies.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. So you were talking about you went far in a culinary competition. I got super excited, but then you went back to how you and Robert were talking.
Yes, yes. And, you know, so we got to talking, and while we were talking over that time frame, a couple of months, you know, I'm doing the competing and all that good stuff, and I'm still doing hardcore with my work while I'm juggling, you know, this wedding getting taken off. And then it's like, okay, we gotta have a dinner, man. You know, so it's like, okay, well, let me cook for him. And so, you know, he wanted to have me come over to his place. And I did a whole setup, and I cooked a really, really nice meal. You know, I don't exactly recall the recipe because it was a little while back, and, you know, I've had a long day today, so forgive me. But it basically was, it was a steak that I butchered from my own cow that I purchased from a farm. They're awesome. It's all organic. And so I butchered it myself, did the roast, brought it over, had all the ingredients. And initially, it was only a setup for about, you know, him, his wife, his kid, my wife, and my kid, you know. Then he had these guests that they surprised. You know, people just show up sometimes. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry to put you out, you know. And I'm like, oh, no, absolutely. So then, boom, inner thought of how do I resolve this? Because you can't think about the obstacle. Because, yes, I did a meal prep for a specific amount of people, you know, and different meals for the different types of adults, children. However, now I have more people and more children, and I got to figure out how to make the meal stretch and still do a performance while I'm getting back in and socializing. And I haven't done this in a while with Robert. So I'm like, oh, my God. And Robert's like, you know, it's okay, Vince. You don't – I was like, no, I got it. I'm good. I'll do it.
That's awesome.
And, and then when – you know, you're in the moment, whatever it is that you're doing, that is your job, your talent, your passion, your dream, when you're in the moment and you're there to perform, regardless whatever it is, and you're given an obstacle, you still got to put the show on. So for me, it's, oh, my God, I want to make sure I don't lose this relationship. You know, he hasn't seen me in a while. I had some good stuff to talk about because you always want to give good things when you talk to your mentors to show them that you're having progress and, you know, you're learning stuff. Because they want to see your career succeed. So when he has this problem for me, it's like, oh, Vince, you know, you don't have to make fun. I'm a Puerto Rican man, you know, from the Bronx, from Hopewell Junction, that we feed people. I'm like a Jewish grandmother, too. You know, you're going to tell me, Vince, don't worry about it? Are you kidding me? No, absolutely. We're going to feed you.
You're going to eat no matter what.
Me. Exactly. So they're all there and the introductions, you know, it's like, okay, it's family and friends and all that good stuff. And then they're like, oh, wow. Oh, so, you know, you're cooking, you're a chef, you're this. And then they get to see. And initially when people hear stuff like that, sometimes it comes off as like pompous or what have you. But if this is your talent, who cares what people say, what accreditation or lack thereof? If you can do it, you can do it. There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing all this. I got out of college. I don't recommend that for anybody. You know, but it didn't work for me being a medical lab tech. It didn't fit me, you know. And when I'm there and I'm cooking and then they're asking me questions because they're seeing the knife skills, they're seeing the preparation, they're seeing the ingredients that I'm using, then boom, it switched where I'm back competing again, but it's me instead performing for these people who are just genuinely interested and couldn't believe, you know, instantly the change in food prep that I had to do with the same ingredients. Nothing changed, just now there's a more there's more volume of people there, and I still had to not only make meals but also filling and then explain why I'm doing this, because there's a lot of times as artists, you know, we tend to do our stuff but not say what or why, and to everyone else we're a little strange, but to us, you know, just leave us alone with our process. When you have to explain it, it's like, oh, okay, well, why are you doing that? Oh, well, let me tell you. You know?
Yeah.
Excuse me. But anyway, so I do the meal. Everything's going fantastic. And they all wound up loving the, not just the food, loving what I was doing. And then it's like, man, that something inside of me was like, you know, you're doing this light. You've done this before hard, and you've had your successes. Your shot's not gone. You got to go back.
That's awesome.
And after that, the relationship kept growing where he kept inviting me back. And then I started finding out about the festival. And then it's, oh, my God, Robert, I didn't know you were doing that here. And then I hear, okay, and it's all around green tech. And then you have mayor of Newburgh involved. You have the CEO of Central Hudson, which is, in our era of the Hudson Valley, like the major electricity provider. They're doing the talks.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have support from Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk. Yeah, so it's like you do these things, and then things happen and come back to you, because if you're magnetic and vibrating towards your passion, your dream, and your goal, and you work hard regardless of the obstacles, it just comes for you. And mind you, like I said, doing this while I'm working as a manager, assistant floor manager in a warehouse, private sector, and just giving touch back. Well, I got, you know, my wedding that's going on, and my wife, you know, she's, well, at the time, fiance, but she's all like giving me the whole, you know, Bridezilla stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. You know what I'm saying?
That's a lot. Just the Bridezilla stuff and all the rest. I don't know how men do it, but that's awesome.
And then the funny thing is that she's like, oh, you know, I'm not a Bridezilla. And I'm like, oh, you're not.
No. Meanwhile,
she's calling me every day. Did you call the DJ? Did you call the photographer? Did you get the damn flowers? I don't know what flowers she's fucking talking about. You know, I apologize for the profanity.
It's okay.
But I'm saying, like, you know, every day it's something new. And then I also was able to get her working with the same company that I was working with. And, you know, she's working at a whole nother facility, thank God. But but in that, she's like, I know your schedule, you know. Like, I know that you have time to fit all these things in on top of what your little dream is. But the whole time she's being a little, you know, mean-hearted or whatever, because not every time is your family, your friends, your spouse, whomever, going to actually support you.
Yeah.
Not every time. For the most part, they're going to think you're out of your mind. They look at you and they tell you, oh,
and
so you're doing that.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. I get that one a lot. That's cute. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right, like, thanks. And what do you do?
Thanks for your, yeah, right. Yeah, how's that insurance company working out for you, really?
Exactly. You know, I mean, bottom line, when it comes down to it, I had to grow a really thick skin, and what helped me with that was, while I was doing this, remember, you have to pay your dues. That doesn't mean you're getting paid while you're doing that. That means you're not.
Yeah, that's true.
That means you're working around it. You're getting the connections, the network. So I was doing all jobs, sales related, which helped me a great deal, because it allows you to handle the rejections. You know, out of 100 people, 70 will tell you no, 20 will tell you maybe, and 10 will tell you yes. As a good sales rep, not as an entertainer, your job is to get the 70 to be less, the 20 to be less, but to get that 10% to be more. Okay?
Yeah.
You want to get those that are on the fence to be on your side. You want to get those that are completely against you to at least be on the fence. And you work the crowd.
Yeah.
You turn it on.
Yeah.
You do what you're good at, your talent. You take the risk, and you keep working at it, and you get there, period.
Yeah. So true.
So your dinner must have been magnificent since you're now working with a film festival.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, the funny thing is that when I first worked with Robert, this is how I got him as my mentor. I was offered. Now, I got injured, and I had full knee reconstructive surgery done, and I was out of the game, and I just met my wife, and things were a little weird, and I was just getting back healthy. Heidi Ekman hits me up, tells me about this movie, Me America, here, and for me to audition. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm getting back on my feet. She wants me to do this. It was for, like, attractive Latino 20 to 30, something like that. You know, I was like, I could do that. So I get over there.
Like,
and,
I got this,
you know,
in the bag.
I have. Exactly. You get there, it's like you're ready because they don't want to hear what you have prepared. They want to give you cold. So you get these sides. Mm-hmm. And this is for Industrial House Films, which Robert owns. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I can handle that. And you just push through because once you get to the ledge of discomfort, then it's like, oh, my God, I can't say no. If I do, because you can say yes or no in life, you're going to regret it. So for me, mm-hmm. I don't want to regret things. So I can't say no. So, of course, I get in there. They give me the cold sides, and I'm reading. And it's in Motorcyclopedia, which is a big motorcycle museum in Newburgh. It has the largest private collection of motorcycles in the world. They have freaking Ghost Rider's bike in there. And anyway, I'm in there,
awesome.
And I'm like, oh. Yeah, it was the coolest audition I've ever had. And so I'm in there, and I'm reading these sides, and I don't exactly remember the lines, but I was like, okay, you know, this is interesting. It was for, like, a bad guy. And I was like, this is not what she told me that I was going to audition for. Okay, fine. So never been a bad guy before. Was doing comedy-based stuff my whole career, and, you know, a little bit of modeling and those type of roles, nothing bad guy stuff, you know? So I'm like, all right, I'm a tough guy now. And, you know, getting through these lines. And then they come in to get me. And I go out to meet, you know, the guy that's like, hey, you know, we're gonna record, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what his name is, but he's just the one that gives, he's the messenger man, you know? And then finally, Robert, I meet him. And he's like this larger than life, attractive, freaking man that's like, who is this dude? I feel like I've seen him before. Turns out he worked on General Hospital. You know, he's toured all over the world doing music and, you know, has done a lot of film work with damn near everybody. And so then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to sit here and be like in awe because I'm here to audition. I've worked with some serious people. Let's do this. Then I go to read the lines and he stops me and he goes, good. Nope, don't want the lines. I was like, what? Vince, you have this great look to you. And yep, you got it. And I'm like, what? And in my mind, I've always heard sometimes it's just showing up and you get stuff. I just showed up, didn't even have to do the friggin' lines, and I got it. So then I'm working with Industrial House Films doing this movie, Me America, and we're working with people that are all over in the industry. I don't know if you remember that Marshals show, like U.S. Marshals.
Yeah.
Well, one of the female marshals, she's actually a marshal. She's over there on set with me and because there's like a cop scene or whatever. And I was like, oh, my God, I watch your show, you know. And overall, we get to talking. You know, you get all these moments, and then you fast forward. Once you get over meeting all these really cool people, you got to remember you're there to work. So I do my lines, and it's cool, and I have to do stuff outside of my realm where I'm simply just being a bad guy, throwing this dude over my head with my hand on his neck out of a Cadillac for a movie that I didn't even know what the heck was going to happen. And now, because of that, I wound up putting on my Facebook way back, treated kind of like a dream board that, okay, I work for Industrial House. Because technically at that, I was contracted to act for the production. So technically you are working for them, but it's not, I'm not really on the damn team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fast forward all these years later, back to the cook, the first meeting with the mentor, they were raving. They're like, you know, this kid's going somewhere. He's got it. My wife's eyes lit up and she finally believed in me. And then that was it when he's like, okay, we'd love to have you on board for the next step. And now I really am working for Industrial House Films. And also because he's my mentor, I am the director of marketing for his international film festival which the next leg is October 10th and 14th. That's the proper festival. We are getting it fully decked, fully ready for the city of Newburgh, who has this other festival called Illuminated that gets over 20,000 patrons every single year. And
wow,
we have all the same people working on this right now.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the film festival. I mean, that's fantastic, and being the marketing director for that. So can you give us more details about the film festival?
Absolutely, absolutely. So right now with the film festival, we have a laundry list of sponsors. And again, for the first leg of the Green Tech, you know, that part's good and done. A lot of those same people are still involved to the second leg of it, which again is going to be the date that I just gave. Good amount of information that you can get for it to see a lot of the selections that we have and who's going to be there as far as, you know, the filmography aspect of it. You go to the website www.eastxnortheast.com, and that gives you all the information. Now, being the director of marketing for this fest has been a labor of love. I'll sit here and tell you this, because I have, you know, a really amazing assistant, and he's one of the interns for the project, you know, and we're... content where you overabsorb, and then it gets stale, and nobody wants to watch it anymore. Then I have to sit here and say, you know, overall, it's about creating a story. You create the story. Then they have to understand the content, and then they cause themselves to engage naturally. Then you also, last, have to actually engage. You have to talk to people.
Yeah.
And then that's
yeah.
where they're like, oh, my God. What do you mean I have to talk to someone? It's like, how do you think this works?
Yeah.
Where do you think the results are going to come from?
You mean they don't just show up hand, like, delivered with a bow on them on your doorstep? You can't get success that way?
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. It's so funny. A lot of people think that it is. You go to school and you get good grades. I messed up a little too early on, but I wound up graduating with high honors from high school. Then to initially...
Breaking up a little bit, Vince. Hello? Okay. Well,
and they're not able to work. But there's no spark.
Okay.
Or they are working, but they're not happy. And you know, they talk about their dreams, and I did this before, and this, they don't talk to anybody anymore. And their lives are more going through the motions. Absolutely, a high life every step. You know, since I got back into this and doing the festival and all the amazing people that I'm working with, like, it's sensational. I don't know. I can't be any more thankful, you know?
Yeah, there's something to be said for really pushing through, like, when the hard times. I'm sure there were times when you were managing the warehouse and that was your full-time job, and you're like, what the fluff is going on here? But there's something to be said, like when you have a passion for, like you obviously have a passion for entertainment. You've done all facets of it. You've been a model. You've done comedy. You've done voice. You've done film. You've done television. You've done radio. You've done it all. So there's obviously something to be said for when you have a passion for something and you keep going forward. You keep going forward no matter what it looks like. Because I think it's so important. There are so many people who think, oh, you know, I auditioned for 3 plays. I didn't get a part. Obviously, this isn't for me. No, that's not the way it is. Like, you have to push forward. You have to
no.
and you have to be smart, and you have to network. But it seems your story is amazing just because, again, like, and I love how when you first said, I was working in the warehouse, like, you almost, like, glossed over it. But I think that's something that everyone needs to hear because, again, they think, okay, you know what? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, so I think so many times people think, okay, you know what, I'm going to have this instantaneous success. I'm going to have a mentor, and it's going to be amazing, and everything's going to be awesome. But the reality is that no matter what, there's always a lot of work to do, but you have to love what you're doing to keep grinding forward.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And I want to say one thing.
Yeah.
One of the major connections that I had in my career that always kept me with that spark and noticed something was Alicia. Now,
awesome.
She's amazing, okay? Now, she took the time when she put out those posts for these events that she does with you guys, and you guys do amazing things. She saw an ad out and like, oh, we're looking for people that are in the industry. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Let me see what's up. Because, again, you got to put yourself out there. Hit it up. Sure enough, she answered back, had me come through, and it's been a relationship for all these years. And, you know, with that connection, you know, I'm very thankful for her. She's a great friend of mine.
Yeah, and I can tell you also, she's very thankful for you. When you called her the other day, she was like, oh, my God. Like, she was, like, so happy to hear your voice that, like, it was her. The joy was palpable, no matter what she was going through. So I can say with all due sincerity that she feels the same way about you. So and that's the whole thing about relationships too in the industry is like there has to be like sincerity and just authenticity, and that's something that she does really well. And I've only known you for a couple of days, but I feel like that's something that you do that you excel at also. So
thank you so much.
Exciting.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's exciting to be a part of
this
journey.
You're making me blush.
But, oh, well, I bet you that is
you know
easy,
that I'm
so
tan,
I feel
right?
like I've won for the day. What?
You know I'm tan, right? Like, it's tough to get a tan guy to blush.
Hey. Yeah. Okay, my job here is done. I think we should end the podcast right now. But, but seriously, our 30 minutes actually is up, and I just want to thank you so much for just sharing your journey with us, sharing your story, and just sharing your energy with us, because I know I'm energized, and I'm sure that anyone who listens to the podcast will be energized also. So thank you for taking 30 minutes out of your schedule to inspire me and inspire my audience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it. You guys have been wonderful. This has been so much fun.
I know. We'll have to do a follow-up. Like maybe after the film festival is over, we'll do a follow-up, and you can tell us all the fun things about the film festival.
100%. Now, we're always looking for more sponsors, so anybody out there, hit us up.
If anyone's looking to sponsor, definitely reach out to me on email, and I will forward Vince all of your information. Oh, then, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Networking, baby. I love it.
Yeah. Always networking, no matter where you are. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, again, Vince, thank you. Thank you so much for all of your inspiration, and we'll do this again soon.
100%. Have a good one. Thank you
Excellent.
For having me.
You also. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I hope that everyone enjoyed our podcast today with Vince Lopez. If you are interested in learning more about the networking that he described when he met Alicia, please visit our website at ammsociety.com, where you can get registered for our next live webinar, where you can get qualified to go to our next live networking event. As always, thank you so much and have a fantastic day.